Welcome to Inner Bloom, a podcast about how to live a happier, healthier, more harmonious life as you learn how to work with the universe, reconnect with your intuition, and bloom from within. I'm Alexa, a writer, producer, and EFT practitioner with a passion for all things metaphysical. And with me is my friend and co-host, Ambi.
I'm Ambi, a physical therapy assistant, mom of three, and intuitive medium who has been communicating with the spirit world since the age of five. Some might call it woo-woo, but from our perspective, anything is possible, and we intend to normalize the abnormal by sharing our own life experiences as well as intuitive insights, channeled material, wisdom from special guests, and any other resources we believe will help our souls expand and thrive.
So today's episode is a channeling with an Arcturian being named John, who Ambi's going to channel. And normally we'd have a live channeling in conversation with me, but Ambi had a day off and recorded this while she was driving. So you're about to hear that clip, and then we'll come back to talk about it together.
Conversations with John. Oh my goodness. Okay. Okay, so John is a ET that I have been communicating with, which sounds silly, but it is what it is. And today I've just been by myself all day, which is very unorthodox, like very unlikely for me because I have three children and a full-time job, and I am very seldomly alone. This all just came in, and I've been on and off crying, not for sadness, but just like a feeling of overwhelm of how beautiful everything is. And it's just a lot right now. So I'm gonna try to ask them questions, and I will tell you the question and then tell the answer as well. Okay. First question is what can I do to be more fully in each moment? To be more fully in each moment, he says, you need to let your guard down. Enjoy life and stop worrying about all of the little minute things that don't matter that we're so caught up in. Did I get my luggage? Did I pay my bills? Did I meet the right person? We're so caught up in these little tiny moments that really don't serve our highest potential. But in the same aspect, it's these little moments that make up the bigger picture. So if we can shift the little moments from anxiety and worry to a grander scale of opening and desire and potential, then we shift the bigger picture as well as the minute, small details. Everyone is made up of moments that impact you greatly. And it's these moments that we think really set us on apart from others and who we are. But it's these smaller moments that you can barely see with a microscope that are the ones that make you who you are. The saying goes, you are who you truly are when no one is watching. And that is true, but in these moments where you are alone and you feel disconnected, you reach for your phone or you watch TV or you try to connect yourself in some way when you should be connecting to your higher purpose and your higher soul's journey. And that's how you'll feel more connected. That's how you'll feel more true of who you are. More alive, more in your body, more vital and healthy and strong, instead of feeling heartbroken and sad and disconnected and alone. We've always been here. We've always been here to help you. Some of you can see us and some of you cannot. But when you open your mind and you open your heart to the potential of our love, then you see your own potential, and it's amazing. You can do things that you never thought were possible. You can break laws. Not the laws that your society has set upon you, but physical laws that you never thought you could. And you're beginning to see a little taste of this. And we're going to go more deeply on how these laws can be broken and how much fun it can be to be a rebel. The most important part in this whole journey is listening to your inner self, listening to your inner guidance. And if it feels true to your inner self and your inner guidance, then it is. But the inner guidance doesn't tell you how stupid you are. It doesn't tell you how much you weigh. It doesn't tell you what your hair looks like. The inner guidance is the voice that tells you you love you. That you are amazing. Your inner guidance is your cheerleader. And it's time now to connect with that higher purpose, that higher self again, like you used to when you were a child. Children are so free because they just allow what comes through and they just express it with no care or concern. For example, when a child tells you they don't like you, they're not worried if you will like them back or you will be hurt or any of those things. They don't care. What they care about is letting you know the truth. And the truth is they do not like you. And that is perfectly fine because not everyone needs to love you. What's most important is you love yourself.
So, Ambie, we just heard that amazing channeled message from you. And what do you call that entity? Does he have a name?
He does have a name. He told me to call him John, which is funny because I feel like that's not like a very easy name. It's just John.
Well, it's kind of like the most human name you could ever think of. It's exactly. Funny. It's kind of basic, but that's okay. John for now, yeah?
Yeah.
So he was talking about how to be more – or your question was how to be more fully in each moment. And you guys – he started to talk about how to let your guard down, all about the little details that we focus on so much that really don't matter, right? Like from the grand perspective, they don't matter.
Right. And
he also said, you are who you are when no one is watching. But something that really was so interesting to me was when he talked about those moments when you feel so alone and disconnected, and then we reach for our phones because we want to feel more connected. But that really makes us feel more disconnected, and that what we should really be reaching for is our higher selves. So what's your perspective on that, and how can we do that? Because I think that's the thing that most of us don't really understand how to do.
Oh, I completely agree. Actually, that was something that him and I have been talking about a lot, because every time I reach for my phone, it's just this little tap of, okay, disconnect. Okay, a light switch off. And it started to really impact me on why am I feeling this way? But if you think about it, so I was picturing, I don't know if this has happened to you, but I know that I'm trying to be better about it when you're with people, when you're with a group of people, and you don't want to miss something. So you check your phone and you check Instagram and you check Facebook, and we're so connected to all of these outlets of being involved in other people's lives. But yeah. Then when we see these people in real life, do we say hi to them? Do we follow up with, oh, I know your partner because of, you know, you feel like you know these people, but you don't really know these people.
Yeah.
And it's this crazy connected, disconnected concept that we're going through right now that no one has gone through.
Yeah.
So I feel like in one aspect, it is a great way to connect with people. However, in the other aspect, it's total disconnection and total isolation. And feeling of alone, both in real life with people around you when you're not engaged with them, and then also social media wise, you know?
Yeah. That's funny because yesterday I went to get my nails done, and after I got them done, I was like at the drying station, and you know, like my nails are wet, so like I can't touch anything. My phone's sitting in front of me, but like I mean, I could touch it, but like not really. And all of a sudden this woman who was sitting kind of next to me, but anyway, she kind of yells at me. She's like, hey, and she starts asking me all these questions about my pedicure. And I remember like looking over her and being like answering, like, why is she talking to me? But I was like, okay, yeah. And I kind of answered, and I could feel my natural inclination to kind of like start looking at my phone and just kind of like answer her question and just go back to what I was doing. And then I heard this, I got the same tap that was like, are you really going to do this again? Like, are you really going to ignore someone in real life to busy yourself with your phone, which you basically can't even interact right now, but you're literally going to basically ruin your nails so that you can just not have to interact in real life. Like, that was what I heard in my head. And then I was like, wow, that is sad. That is really sad if that's like what I'm trying to do right now. So then, and I normally never do this, but then I turned around and I just started asking her like, where does she live and what's she into? And I never do that, but suddenly I felt this like relief. It was like, oh, okay. Like I'm living, like I'm actually here. I'm actually in this moment. I'm not diving into a screen right now because I feel uncomfortable or something, you know?
Right. And I think that is exactly part of the reason that we do it, is because we feel uncomfortable, whether we feel isolated, everybody else is on their phones. I know that I've had those moments where I'm with a group of people and everybody gets on their phone. So I don't want to feel alone. So, okay, I'll go on my phone.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden I'm busy and I'm important.
Yeah.
But exactly. In the same aspect, it's interesting to, I don't want to say not know how to talk to people, because that's not it, but be uncomfortable talking to people you don't know.
Yeah.
Why are we so uncomfortable with this? You know, this is something that 20 years ago was normal. So it's
right. Well, it's because with our phones, we have the buffer time. It's like we can see things that we can see the messages, and then we can take our time to like even protect ourselves from showing them that we've read it. You know, like I can just see it on my notifications, and then I can sit there and think about it, decide what I want to do. Whereas in real life, it's like it's coming at you fast and hot, and like you don't have that time to protect yourself, to put up the mask, to decide how you want to appear. It's like you have to act in that moment. And I think that is what scares, that's what scares me, you know, that's what scares me. And I think that that's what's at the heart of what John was talking about, or is the reason that he's bringing that up, is because we need to, us putting up the mask, us trying to protect ourselves, us trying to present ourselves in certain ways, that's what's making us unhappy.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I would agree with that. That's really powerful what you just said. Yeah. Sorry to keep just saying yeah.
I like when you agree.
I definitely agree. Like, that is a mask that we use. It's definitely a cover-up. It's definitely a protective device we have against rejection and against saying the wrong thing or offending people. And, you know, it's just getting in arguments with people. But that's life, is you're not going to get along with everybody, and you're going to get in arguments, and you're going to offend people. And it happens.
Yeah.
And that's okay, too. You can't make everybody happy, and you shouldn't want to make everybody happy. You should want to make yourself happy.
Exactly. And I think by trying to protect ourselves from other people's judgments, or like our doing that is in attempt to, like you said, protect ourselves from rejection, protect ourselves from conflict, protect ourselves from what we think we don't want. But in effect, what we're actually creating is the exact thing that we're trying to protect ourselves from, because we aren't being authentic. And so we think we're protecting ourselves from being unhappy, but we're actually making ourselves unhappy because we aren't being who we are. And therefore we're not really connecting, and we're not really feeling authentic, and we're not feeling connected, as John was saying, that we need to start doing. Like, we need to feel connected, and that's when we're going to thrive, and that's when we're going to feel happy, and that's when we're going to feel vital in our body. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. Yeah. Definitely. And then, you know, it reminds me of, that's always what everybody's talking about as far as the ego goes. That's what the ego does. It's a protective device, right? And it's protecting you from isolation. It's protecting you from this. It's protecting you from that. But what if social media or our phones in general are just a different ego?
Totally. Yeah. It's kind of an ego device if you think about it. Yeah. That's what it's.
And it boosts your confidence in a very superficial way. Ooh, I have 100 likes. That's great. 100 people like me.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And in real life, I know I've seen people that I follow on Instagram or people that I follow on Facebook or vice versa, and we don't even say hi to each other.
Yeah, totally. You know what you're just talking about with the likes. So I had this kind of like realization, I think it was like a week ago, where I could feel that when I was posting on Instagram, you know, I had all these insights coming through, and I was like, ooh, I could feel like I want to share this. I want people to get benefit from this. But then I could feel myself, or then I could notice myself constantly checking, you know, to see, okay, who has liked this? How is this doing? And then I had this recognition. I was like, why are you doing that? If you truly just want people to get benefit from it, yes, part of you can maybe justify that, well, I'm seeing how many people are benefiting from it. Fine. But if you truly believe that it's good for people to see, and that's all that you want, then you don't really need, it doesn't matter how many, it doesn't matter if one person likes it. It doesn't matter. If you're just putting it out there because you believe it's a good message to put out, then that's all you need to do. And it doesn't matter who responds. And then I had the realization, I was like, oh, so because of how law of attraction works, right? It's like the reason why some people blow up on Instagram and get, you know, billions of likes and all kinds of following, it's like, some of those people literally don't care. They're just being themselves, and they're just putting it out there, and they're not even reading any of the comments. They're just, I mean, this might be few, but I'm saying, when you can do that, when you can actually just push out what you want to push out with disregarding how it's doing, how people are responding, then you're actually making a statement to the universe that I know this is spreading. I don't need to check on if it's spreading, because if you check on how well it's doing, how many likes you're getting, you're literally telling the universe, I don't have enough likes. Therefore, it's only going to go a limited amount. You know, that's what you're manifesting. I don't have enough. Whereas if you just push it out and don't care, like literally you could never check it again, and that would be fine with you. That is a statement of confidence to the universe that message is getting to whoever it needs to get to. And therefore I was like, and that's how people go viral. That's how people spread things. Because I think it's like when you put something, I've gone viral before. I've told the story in my intro. But I've actually gone viral. And guess what? It was at a time when I posted something and I never checked on it again. I literally thought nothing of it ever again. And that post blew up and made my company $15,000 in a week. So that all clicked for me. Like, oh, that's how you make an impact, by not caring what people think.
Yeah. And how much more free do you feel when you do that?
So free. I mean, it's hard. It's hard, though. because we've been so trained to need validation. I mean, I think that's like the biggest thing that I work on daily is like reminding myself that I don't need the validation, or that I shouldn't need it, or that I should be okay without it, you know?
Yeah. And I think everybody feels that way. I think everybody to a degree feels that way, some less and some more than others. But like, for example, if you look at Jim Carrey, right? Mm. Jim Carrey is, from what I know of him, Jim Carrey is funny and crazy like all the time, right?
Yeah.
Now there's been some other things going on with him, but let's just focus on this part for a second. Because if Jim Carrey was concerned about what other people thought of him, or if people didn't like his personalities, or if people didn't like his voices, he wouldn't be as successful as he is currently.
Right.
You know what I mean? He would be too much in his head. He would be too worried about what people thought, and he wouldn't be as funny. And it's those types of, I think of like a famous person, right? How many no's do they get before they get a yes?
Totally.
How many times do they hear, you're not good enough, you're not smart enough, you're too fat, you're too skinny? And they're just like, I don't care what you think. I'm going to keep going. Yeah. And that is amazing to me, because I feel like if I could get to that point to where I truly didn't care, like I was outside of my own head all the time,
yeah,
it would be so much more freeing.
Totally. You know? Totally. I mean, I think about that with clothes for some reason. That's been popping in my head a lot, about what we wear, because that's always been something that's been like an issue for me. I've always been really self-conscious about like what I wear, and like if it's fitting in with everyone, and if it's cool. And like, that's just something from like my childhood that just was like a part of it. Like just going shopping with my mom, and just all this anxiety about it. But I've been having these realizations lately, because I never wanted to stand out is the thing. I never wanted to, I wanted to blend in. Like part of me wanted to be special. Like part of me wanted recognition, but another part of me didn't want anyone to single me out. I just wanted to kind of blend in when I was younger.
Me too.
So I feel like that really contributes to clothing, like, because we just kind of we were like, what's everyone else wearing? Okay, so I'll be normal. I'll be cool. Everyone will accept me. Cool. I'll just wear what everyone else is wearing. But then like recently I've been meeting these people, especially in like, you know, the spiritual community and Burning Man community and stuff like that, where people love to wear these really interesting things. And I've started seeing that as like, oh, wow, like that is the way to live. Like these people are tuned into who they are, and they're expressing it in every way, including their clothing. And guess what? Like that's what we should be doing. Like that is being ourselves and being unique. And when we can connect to our authentic selves and express it in all of those ways, including how we dress, that's when the world is going to be, you know, amazing. And that's when we're all going to feel free, because we're going to. And I think that's what's starting to happen, is that we're starting to see that the beauty is in the differences, not in our sameness. Like our sameness is boring. Like it's so boring. Aren't we bored? Like I'm so bored of everyone just doing what everyone else is doing. It's like the most interesting people to me are the people that are doing what no one else is doing. Mm-hmm. And that's why Kanye West is so fascinating to people. Regardless of whether you love him or hate him, like he is a free thinker. And that's why he's fascinating to people. Like that's why he is this just like enigma that like people just can't help but like listen to in some way, shape, or form. And I just think there needs to be more of that, like following our own guidance, which is what, you know, John was talking about. So
I agree. For me, it's my hair. For me, I grew up with I had hair like down to the middle of my back when I was in high school, and it was really frizzy and half curly, like wavy hair. And I didn't get a hair straightener until I was in the 10th grade. Didn't know they existed. So before that, kids would make fun of my hair. They called me Chewbacca. Like they would pull my hair at one point to see if it was a wig, because it's like so poofy. So very recently, I've kind of stopped straightening my hair and just let it air dry and just walk around with this big poofy hair, because I don't care anymore. It doesn't matter to me if you like my hair or not. It's my hair. It's not your hair. You don't have to live with my choices. I do. So, and that's like, I forget who told me that, but someone told me that years ago, is don't be concerned about what other people think, because they don't have to live your choices. And that just stuck with me. And that every time I get really insecure about something, like my legs, you know, my legs are a big deal for me. Have a little extra love there. And it's like, I didn't wear shorts for years, you know?
Yeah.
And why are we doing this? Why are we doing this? Because it's so ridiculous. Everybody has insecurities.
Yeah.
The most confident people have insecurities, and everybody has something they want to change about themselves. But it's those little moments of not caring and being free really sets you apart.
Absolutely. You know who just popped up on, speaking of Instagram, someone popped up on Instagram yesterday, and I was like, whoa, I was meant to see her, because she is the absolute embodiment of exactly what you're talking about. There's this model named Winnie Harlow, I think her name is, and she has like a pigmentation disorder, or a skin pigment disorder, where she's black, but she has like, it literally, her skin almost looks like splotches of a cow. Like,
yeah, I've seen her.
Yeah. And she's like a top model. I mean, it's on her face. It's everywhere. She's like so unique looking, because it's like, they're just these splotches of white on her black body, but she is rocking it. Like, she is a top freaking model, and people love her. And guess what? I was sitting there looking at her, like, on all these magazines and these runways and stuff. And I was like, that is awesome. Like, that is freaking awesome, because this girl could have cried every day. She could have turned into like a loner. She could have, you know, just seen this as a huge curse, or as something like, why did this happen to me? And lived a life alone and shut out from people because she thought they were judging her. But instead, she's like, this is awesome, and this is me. And I was literally looking at her thinking, this is like a leopard human. This is like a human who's literally has like a filter over, like, you know how we have Snapchat filters that make us like a leopard, or like, you know, like we can make us whatever we want. It's like, this is like one of the first humans that's like, yep, I have spots. What is up? You know?
Yeah.
And that is so inspiring. And I think that is like my new idol, or just my new role model, because it just reminds me of that we should embrace everything different about us, even if society thinks it's quote unquote ugly or unattractive or whatever.
Or not normal.
Exactly. Right. Because that's all it really is. That's all that societal norms are. They're just quote not normal, but abnormal is becoming awesome. You know, that's why, like, it's like, that's why if you go to a festival and there's these people wearing crazy onesies or like costumes, it's like, they want to stand out. They want to be abnormal, and people celebrate them for it, you know? Well, so there's another thing. There's a couple of things that John said too that I wanted to touch on. So, when he was talking about breaking all the laws of physics, I got so excited because that's awesome. And it made me think of, you know, cloud bursting and, you know, the telekinesis things that I know you and I have been practicing. So then along with that, he said, you're gonna see how much fun it can be to be a rebel. And that just, like, I love that. So what do you think about that part?
When he was saying that, that's exactly what I was thinking of, is the telekinesis and cloud bursting. And I've been cloud bursting ever since you showed me how to do it every single day. Every day, and I do it with my coworkers. If there are clouds in the sky, I'll go to my coworkers and I'll be like, what the hell's going on? How come nobody has burst these clouds today? And
like, you guys are slacking.
We really are. And they're like, we're busy, you know? But with the telekinesis, let me tell you a story what happened. So you sent me a wiki how-to, and you can look it up. It's pretty easy. But we took a piece of tin, because I didn't have any papers that were the right size. So we took a piece of tin and we folded it and put it on a paper clip, on a roll of paper towel. So it was just being held up by the paper clip. And I wanted to see what would happen if I just let it be in my kitchen with all the energy around it. Because I found that it's easier when you're happy to make it move, right?
Absolutely, yes.
So I wanted to see what would happen. Would it not move? Would it move? Would it fall? Like, what would happen? And one of the teenagers that I'm watching right now in my house walked by it. And she's like, what is this? And I was like, it's a piece of tin. as a piece of tinfoil, try to move it with your mind. And she's rolled her eyes and she's like, okay. So she sat there and she's like focusing on it. And I said, just relax and think of something happy, like Tinkerbell. Think of something, think
yes,
about happy thoughts.
Yes.
And it freaking moved so fast.
Yes.
She jumped back and she's like, what the fuck just happened? And I was like, I started laughing and I was like, you did that. And she's like, what? And like, I go, do it again. You can do it again. And so she looks at it again and it starts spinning again. And she's like, oh my God. And walks away. So, but I feel like if I had known about this 20 years ago, 10 years ago, imagine where we could be. So if we teach our children these different techniques on anything is possible. Like the laws of physics are just an illusion that we have told each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what John was saying, is that this is just an illusion. This is not real. And you have the ability to change everything because you are so powerful. That's what I feel like he was trying to say.
Totally. Totally. And it's like, it goes along with, I mean, what Abraham Hicks talks about, which is like creating your own reality by what you believe. What you believe is becomes true for you. And so, for example, if you believe that you're not good at a sport, right, then you're not good at it. Like if that's what you believe, then you will manifest all the circumstances to make you not good at it. You'll go to play the game when you're feeling really tired. You'll manifest, you know, it's like we manifest all the conditions around our beliefs. So it's like, when we can believe that we are powerful and that we are connected to everything, and when we understand, and I think cloud bursting is the best way, and I didn't realize this until you and I started talking about it, or you started doing it, but cloud bursting is the best way, I think, to have that confidence in yourself, because it's something that everyone can basically do on their first try, or it seems that way. And it's one of those things where you immediately realize, oh, wait, I'm connected to that. If I'm making that move with my thought, that means that the laws of quantum physics or quantum entanglement are, that is true. Like we are, I'm connected to something across the universe. For me, it doesn't matter how far away we are connected to everything. Therefore, we're connected to that, the little tin wheel, we're connected to the energy around it. And I love what you're talking about think happy thoughts, because that I was mentioning that to you too. Like sometimes I'll be practicing on the psi wheel, the little tin wheel, and I'll be kind of trying and efforting. And then, like I said, so I'll take a break and I'll like be talking to you on my phone. I'll be like texting with you, and I can see out of the corner of my eye, suddenly it starts picking up speed. And it's because I'm like getting excited about something talking to you. And that's so interesting to see the contrast of that. So, yeah, definitely. If you're, I'm sure we'll do like a segment on cloud bursting and telekinesis and stuff. But if you're hearing this and interested, definitely Google that and check it out, because it's pretty empowering to realize how big of an effect you have on everything.
Yeah. And it's literally a wiki how to, which is incredible to me. Because it's just like, here you go.
There's also a wiki how on astral projecting. There's a wiki how on everything. It's really wild.
That's nice. But I think cloud bursting works. Because you have no, like, okay, so for the tin wheel, it's harder for me because I have that voice in my head that says, this is ridiculous. You're not going to make this move. Yeah. But with cloud bursting, I have no feelings about clouds. I mean, I don't have any reservations about clouds. I don't have any bad or good feelings about it. It's just a cloud. And I think that's what makes it so easy, because, and I keep telling myself, if it doesn't happen, nothing's going to happen. Like, you're not going to let anybody down. You're not going to, like, make yourself feel bad. Nobody will know. It's like, you know, you have to get outside of your head. And I think that works for everything. True. That's not just cloud bursting or telekinesis. That's for everything. You have to get outside of your head.
Which is why, and this is something I want to do a whole other episode on, but everything for everyone is so different, because we all have these different perceptions about things based on our history, based on our life experience. So like we all have different blockages and different things that we totally allow, like we're totally open to. So it's like, that's why you can't look to somebody else and decide what's true for you based off what's going on with them, because it's completely irrelevant. It's completely irrelevant what happens with them. It's going to be completely unique for you. I mean, we can learn from each other and get ideas from each other, but when you look to someone else and say, oh, well, because they can't do it, or they're not good at this, or they don't think this is a good thing, then that means that's, I should probably think that too. It's like, that's exactly how we lose all of our power. That's exactly how we limit ourselves, by looking around at each other and going, well, this person doesn't think this, or this person believes this. It's like, we are meant to discover our own power in our own unique way, just by like connecting with ourselves. And the only other thing I was going to say about clouds is, the other thing about clouds is that they're already moving. They're already so, you know, they already kind of come and go. So I feel like it's easier for us to believe like, okay, well, this is, it's not like a stagnant, fixed physical thing. It's already kind of made up. It's, you know what I'm saying? So yeah, that's another thing.
Abraham Hicks actually talked about why rich people have money throughout their families, right? Like, why in their family line do they keep having money? And one of the things they said was, rich people have money in their family because that's what they're surrounded by. So it's not impossible for them to think that. So then that got me thinking about people that have healers as parents, and how normal that must be for them growing up, that to think that, yeah, you're blind, but I can, you know, my dad can cure you and you can see. This is not a big deal. And then for us, people that didn't grow up with money, or people that didn't grow up with, you know, a psychic mom or whatever the case may be, these things are completely abnormal. And these things are completely outside of the realm of possibilities.
Yeah.
And this is a touchy subject, but my mother actually, you've met my mom, and
she is an interesting character. Such a character.
She's like very, she's a very free thinker and doesn't care what people think.
Yeah.
She was diagnosed with stage 4 lymphoma. And she went to one chemo session and decided she didn't want to go through that. So she just stopped going to chemotherapy and decided she didn't have cancer. The doctors told her she was going to die. Like, there was no possibility of her living. My sister was like, how am I going to raise my little sister by myself?
Wow.
And she didn't care. Never went back to another doctor. And that was 40 years ago. Has no cancer.
Amazing.
I know. Isn't that mind-blowing?
And
yet, she has so much resistance around money. Because she's been raised in a poor family her whole life. So that resistance towards money, she says to me things like, I never have enough money. I don't know how to budget money. I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to do that. My mom was poor. Things of that nature. And I look at her and I go, you beat cancer without drugs. That's amazing. You healed yourself.
Totally.
And she's like, well, that's not a big deal. That's a huge deal. That's like the biggest deal.
But see,
so, it's just crazy.
Oh, totally. And that's such a good illustration of how it's like, it's specific to each person, like what they have specific blockages to, and what they're, and also, you know, it's like that is an experience that, because that's what first got me into all this stuff, healing. And because when I was younger, my mom had cancer like 3 times, and I was very, I mean, up until a couple of years ago, I was always terrified of death and me getting cancer, me getting sick, and me getting all these things, because I saw my mom go through it. And healing is like one of the first things that got me into, you know, spirituality and all of this stuff. And our bodies are so, you know, it's just a manifestation. Like, even cancer, it's just a manifestation of a thought. And I feel like what your mom, you know, that experience, like, it brought her to understand that she's in, like, it brought her to make a decision that, like, she's done with it. Like, the chemo, I'm not doing chemo. And so I'm just going to have to live. Like, that's it. You know, I'm in control here. And that's in that specific area of her life. Whereas money, you know, she might just not be in a situation yet that makes her make that same decision about money. Because it's like a stronger story she's been telling. And it's just interesting how all the stories can be different, you know, in certain aspects of your life, you can be more fixed on a story and unwilling to change it for certain reasons. I was going to mention this because it just reminded me, you know, what's so amazing is how our bodies are constantly talking to us and giving us messages about like what we're thinking. Because for the past few days, it's just a little aside, but it kind of relates. For the past few days, this past week, I've been pretty frustrated. And I honestly think I've just been frustrated for the sake, like, because I've been frustrated, like, because I had a frustrating thought, I didn't catch it. And I've just kind of been in a mood that I haven't been able to spiral, turn around. Mm-hmm. And this morning, I caught myself just so, angry for some reason. I was just feeling, on the edge, right? And suddenly, and I recognized it. I totally recognized it in myself. And then I was even pissed about that. And then all of a sudden, I felt in my eye, I had this feeling. And I suddenly was like, oh my God, I have a sty. I know that I have a sty right now. Because I know this feeling. I've gotten a sty. You know what a sty is in your eye?
Yeah. Yeah.
I've gotten one two other times, okay? And maybe three other times. And each time that I've gotten them before, it's been at a point where I've been really frustrated and pissed off. And I looked up Louise Hay's book, Heal Your Life, which is all about what each sickness or any type of irritation or whatever in your body, what it actually means is going on with your psyche. So a sty means that you're looking at life through angry eyes, right? And right before I got this feeling, oh my God, I have a sty. Right before I got this feeling, I had done this meditation and I kind of went a little deeper in this meditation than I've gone in a while. And in the meditation, I was asking myself, why can't I hear my guidance better? Why did I tell myself I don't want to hear it? And anyway, I had this conversation with myself, and at the end of it, I said, I want to hear it. I want to see it. I want to feel it. I don't care what I said before. I want to hear, feel, see it in any way you can give it to me. I'm listening. Okay. And so right after that, I'm like, oh my God, I have a sty. And I go look in the mirror and I'm like, yep, I can tell, it's coming. And in that moment, I just, instead of freaking out like every other time I have before, and I'm like, oh, I have this, no, my day's ruined or whatever, I just breathed and I said, thank you. And I really meant it. I was like, thank you. Cause now I know exactly what this means. I am looking at life through angry eyes. And now I'm happy because I received a message just like I asked. And thank you. And I immediately felt the mood lift, like the mood that I've been carrying with me the whole week, it lifted off of me. And suddenly I was just like, thanks. And guess what? 5 minutes later, the feeling of the sty is gone and I haven't felt it since. So
wow.
This is just a little side note of how amazing, how our bodies are always sending us messages. And the only time it gets worse is when we're resisting it or not ready to hear it. And for the first time today, I had this recognition I was ready to hear that message. I was ready for it and I accepted it. And that was it.
Yeah, that's incredible. I love that book. I haven't read all through it, but I have, bits and pieces of it.
Yeah.
But I have something similar, a little personal, but I had a yeast infection a couple of months ago, and I could not get rid of it to save my life. I went to the doctor, got medicine, couldn't get rid of it. So I looked it up in the book on the book you're talking about, what it means, and it means that you're angry with your partner. So I was angry with my husband, and I wanted it wasn't any one particular thing. It was just a compound of little things.
Yeah.
So I talked to him about it and, we kind of worked through it, and then it's gotten better. I have no symptoms now, but the incredible thing is when I'm angry and I hold it in, I can feel symptoms starting to emerge and I'll be like, oh shit. And then I go and I try to just release.
Yes.
And okay, do I really need to bring this up to him, or is this my issue that I'm projecting onto him?
Yes.
So I just kind of let go, and maybe it's not worth, because I feel sometimes we put so much importance on talking about the problem when we don't really need to talk about every single problem that comes up. Sometimes you just need to not internalize, but work through it yourself inside.
Absolutely. That's been a huge lesson for me. I used to get in farts. Sorry. I used to get in fights with my partner all the time, multiple a day. They would get so out of control. And it's so funny because now we're both so chill. I don't even think we've been in a fight. I don't remember the last time we've been in a fight. But before, before I knew about any of this stuff or had this understanding, it was I couldn't stand I couldn't stand the difference in our opinions, or if I felt that he was like slighting me in some way. And then I, you know, after listening to Abraham for so long, I came to that realization of what you're saying. It's like a lot of the time, it's not really something that we need to bring up. It's something that we need to accept in ourselves. It's something that we need to understand why it's bothering us so much. And really ask ourselves, like, what is this about for me? Because really that's where it's coming from. It's like everything's neutral until you put a label on it or until you assign meaning to it. And so what you're doing when you're taking a situation, getting pissed, it's like you're assigning some sort of meaning to this, and really means anything until you put some association with it. So it's like, what are you associating this with? And that's also something like tapping has, you know, helped me with quite a bit. So, totally. That's so interesting though. It's like, it's kind of amazing how, you know, like our body is actually just an indicator all the time. It's just kind of like this machine that's kind of like, hey, look over here. Something's wrong. Yeah. Like, yo, you gotta, it's like I was going to say in your car on the dashboard when it's like, hey, you need more fluid, or like, hey, you need more gas, or like, hey, your brake lights, whatever. It's like, that's what's going on in our body. It's just like, hey, over here, I need some servicing, you know? And all you have to do is just pay attention and be like, yeah, what's up? But most of us don't want to do that. So.
Yeah. Or most of us don't know that that's what, like that's what a headache means.
Yes.
That's what, you know, all of these things mean. So absolutely. It's definitely, you know, laryngitis, not speaking your truth. That's
totally,
a huge one.
Totally.
That
totally.
Was a rough couple weeks for me to realize I need to speak my truth.
Yeah.
It was a good lesson.
Yeah, totally. Totally. So yeah, if you are experiencing any physical symptoms, definitely look up that book, Louise Hay, Heal Your Life, because it's pretty interesting to start correlating what you've been through with that. So there was just a couple more things that John said. To wrap this up. So, he said it's most important to listen to your inner guidance. And I loved when he said this, your inner guidance is your cheerleader. That's like a quote that's like a t-shirt or something. It's so good. And he was talking about how like, but your inner guidance is never going to say something like, oh, like your hair doesn't look good, or you look fat, or whatever. It's always going to be like, I love you. You're the best. You're awesome. You can do this. You are everything. You know, it's always going to be cheering you on. And I think that is interesting. I feel like that is like one of the number one things that people get confused about when they're starting to connect with their guidance, because it is so hard to tell, right? It is so hard to tell the difference at first between like, well, what is your voice, or what is the voice in used to, and what is your higher guidance, right? Like, how can you tell the difference?
Yeah, exactly. And that's something that was kind of, you know, it was brought up to me multiple times today, not just once.
Yeah.
But it was when you have this voice in your head, like for example, when you're trying to do something new that you've never done before, like telekinesis, and you're trying to make this spin, you're going to have a voice in your head that says, this is stupid. You can't do this. Nobody can do this. This is ridiculous. Mm. Or, you know, I don't know, Alexa can do this, but I can't do this. Right. You're going to have that voice in your head, but that's not your inner guidance. That's the voice of your parents. That's the voice of society. That's the voice of, you know, an ex or whoever that told you that and made you believe that you aren't good enough. Your inner guidance is the one that says, go ahead and take that risk. I'll be right here. Everything's fine. Everything will be okay. Or when you're really sad, it's the voice that says, this is just a bump in the road. Everything will be okay. That's the inner guidance. That's what, and it gets easier and easier to listen to that voice the more you actually trust and listen to that voice.
Yeah.
So for me in the beginning, I had this moment where this is 3 years ago now. I was pregnant with my son, and we were moving because we didn't have enough space in the house that we were currently living in. So we moved into a new house and we had no money for rent. We had no money to physically move. I had no job because I was fired because I was pregnant. So I was just sitting in a dark room crying, literally sobbing, like, how are we going to get through this? And I just sat there and I said, please help me. Just please guide me. And you can call it praying. You can call it connecting to my higher self, whatever the case may be. But I could feel someone hugging me. And I heard that voice that sounded like my own. And it said, everything will be okay. You'll get through this. And literally 2 weeks later, I found a job. And I made more money at that job than I have ever made before. We had my husband's parents help us with the first month's rent. We paid them back. Like, it was all fine. You know what I mean? Nobody died. We weren't homeless. In those moments, you feel like this is the worst possible thing. And you have that voice that tells you, you're the reason this happened. Yeah. This is your fault. But you have to listen to that other voice that says, it's going to be okay. This is for a bigger picture. This is for something better. And if you can listen to that long enough, the other voice starts to go away.
Yeah. That's an amazing story. And because I think we've all been there, like, in that situation where you're just like, what did I do to manifest this? And like, and then you start looking back on all these decisions you made, or like, if I just hadn't done that, or if I hadn't done that. And it's like, you know, something that was popping into my head when you were talking, because it came to me in my meditation this morning, actually, is about how, and I think Abraham talks about this quite a bit, is about how we have going on where, like, we think that if something feels good, that means it isn't, because we have been trained by not our higher self, not our actual guidance, but by people who are trying, you know, our parents or whoever raised us, who were meaning well, they meant well, they loved us, but they were trying to get us to do what made them feel better, which was guided by fear, like mostly guided by fear. It's very rare that, like, someone was guided by, you know, their higher self, or their, you know, because we live in a society that's pretty dominated by fear and people doing things so that, you know, to survive and all that. So therefore, we've developed this kind of mistrust of, like, what feels good, because it's always been so backwards for us. And when something doesn't feel good, we think that's actually good, because we've been taught that to succeed, we have to sacrifice. To succeed, we have to work our ass off and feel really bad. And then we'll get somewhere. And then if we pay enough of a price, then we'll feel, then we'll get somewhere and we'll be good enough. And it's, and I think that is the number one thing that really confuses people too, is like, we internally have associated these things in a backwards way. So it's really a process of retraining ourselves and really reassuring ourselves through whatever method we can to be like, no, actually, truly, if it feels good, then it is good. It's good. Like, you're good. We're good. But it's like, I notice with myself, I'll get on a roll with that for a while where I'll finally be like, yes, it feels good to feel good. It feels good to feel good. Okay. And all of a sudden something will happen. And I know that it's because it's helping me, you know, catch my balance and learn about this, but something will happen. And suddenly I'll be like, I shouldn't feel this good. It's wrong. Like, actually, I should definitely feel worse than this. I should definitely, this makes me nervous. Like, the other shoe's going to drop. The other shoe's going to drop, you know? And so, yeah. It's like a process of retraining ourselves to be comfortable with feeling good. And one more thing, one of the girls at one of the retreats I went to, she always said, and I think this is from someone else, but she always said, she's like, how good can you stand it? How good can you stand it? Like, how good can you stand the world being to you? Because that's how good it's going to be. It's like, how good it's like a really interesting thing. Cause it's like, some of us can't stand it being good. We cannot stand it. It's so uncomfortable, you know?
Yeah. And you get comfortable with a certain level of chaos. You know, we've talked about that before, but, and I agree with you. I mean, I used to think all the time, because, you know, all I've wanted is my family. That's since I was a little kid. I wanted to be a mom and I wanted to have, like, the white picket fence and all of that. So when I have that, I always think, oh my gosh, one of the kids is going to die. Here we go.
Yeah.
Something's going to happen. That's traumatic. That's life altering. And it's so easy to get, like, back in that spiral, but it's just, I remember hearing this podcast years ago that said, when you're in those moments, don't try to go right to happiness, because it, you know, Abraham Hicks talks about this. You can't go on a train going 100 miles an hour one way and expected to go 100 miles an hour the opposite direction. It's not going to work for the contents of the train. It's going to jostle them too much, right?
Right.
So this lady on this podcast would say, just look up when you're feeling bad. And in the beginning, I was like, what the hell is she talking about? Look up. Like, that's dumb. And so, but now I get it. Like, the clouds, the birds, the trees, like, oh my God, I'm alive. You know what I mean? Like, there's just no resistance in those moments of feeling like, oh my gosh, I am so lucky that I live in this place at this time with this beautiful world. Yeah. Like, it gets easier and easier to appreciate things. I remember I used to have an appreciation journal. And it started with three things. I was literally only grateful for three things. It was my husband makes money. Not my actual husband, just that he made money. And then my daughter, my son, and that was it. That was it. And it got easier and easier to have more things until I had a full book of things that I was appreciative for. And I was like, okay. And now I don't necessarily need to write them down all the time. Just in those really tough moments, I write them down. Yeah. But it gets so much easier once you start to get the hang of, like, and that's the law of attraction, is little bits at a time. It doesn't have to be happy 24/7. It's just little bits at a time.
Yeah, totally. Totally. And I that's something, like, we'll definitely talk about in this processes, and because, you know, yeah, they are definitely powerful when you know how to use them and you understand law of attraction. But what you were talking about looking up, it's like that's by looking up, it's like you're going general, like you're going away from the specifics, and you're just like, oh wow, the sky, the birds, the sun, you know, you're going to more in general place, which allows you relief from whatever you're focused on. And speaking of that, this is the last thing I wanted to touch on from what John was talking about. He was talking about children and how we need to reconnect with our how to be a child. Like, we need to reconnect with our guidance, like we did when we were children. And when you were talking about looking up, you know, that just reminded me of, you know, sometimes I think back to when I was a child, and I think I try to remember the feeling. I don't remember many days like this, but I do think there was, like, probably one or two experiences where, like, I had this sensation, maybe it was the last day of school or something, where I had the sensation that it was like, oh, I'm literally free. Like, I'm not going to school. And it was like, maybe if I was like seven or something, it was like, so I didn't have a job, or I didn't, you know, it was like, oh, I'm literally free for this moment in time. And where you're a kid and there's no anything. It's just being a kid. And so, you know, I really like what he was saying about, you know, children are free. They allow what comes through. They just say what they feel, and that's it. What do you think about that point?
I love that point. I think that it gets harder when you get older to not censor yourself. Like, I think about my 2-year-old, right? Yeah. And when he gets mad, he hits you. Like, that's the end of it. He just hits you. When he doesn't want to do something, he's like, no, I don't want to do it. Yeah. When he wants to do something, it's very hard to deter him in a different direction.
Right.
And then I think about my 5-year-old, who used to be similar to that, maybe not as determined, but I think about her and how I can slowly start to see her wanting to please people. And I can slowly start to see her, I'll be like, you know, you can't do that right now. And she's like, but I really want to, but you can't. Oh, okay. And she'll let it go. And it's almost sad to me, because I see her childhood kind of changing. But in the same aspect as a mom, I'm like, well, how do I fix this? What do I do? You know what I mean? Like, she has to do homework. She has to go to school. These are things that society deems we have to do. So it's kind of like you're you're stuck in this position of where you're trying to teach them to be these amazing people and follow their heart and listen to their inner guidance. And then at the same time, I'm like, you've got to go to bed at 8 o'clock, but I don't want to go to bed at 8 o'clock. Right. I understand that. So it's such an interesting dynamic, because it's definitely, just kind of guiding them in the right way, but it is almost sad to watch them kind of blend with society and kind of blend into the social norms and all of that.
Well, I feel like that, you know, speaking of your 2-year-old, I've met him, had the pleasure of meeting him and all your kids who are amazing. And he, to me, feels like, because I have this strong feeling that the kids that are being born right now are not like the kids before. They are coming in so strong, ready to go. And it's like, we've mentioned Abraham a million times so far, but it's fine. It's like Abraham, you know, she talks about, you know, when these people come in with this stubborn will, it's like they're here to literally say, like, I am not doing what you all think that we should do. I'm here to tell you that I'm here to show you that, like, you that I'm going to be different, and there's nothing you can do about it except come to where I am, which is, I think, what the catalyst is for this shift that's happening right now. Part of what the catalyst is for the shift that's happening right now is these souls that are coming into this reality that are putting their foot down, essentially, and saying, no, not doing it that way. I'm not going to conform. I am going to do exactly what I want to do. And you guys are all going to have to come to me or get out, basically, because, and it's kind of like, I think what's happening right now is we're at this point where we're kind of like, wait, no, we need you. No, you need to come here and you need to get in line. And it's kind of like this push and pull thing that's happening. But I think ultimately it's going to lead us, like these kids and these souls and these people who are coming in like this are going to be leading us to a place of ultimate freedom, you know, because right now we really are confined by society's beliefs and rules and what they think and what is quote unquote normal. And I think where we're headed is individuality and no set path and no norm. And that's okay. Even though we've been taught throughout our lifetime, like having no norm and no regulation, that's scary. That's like, oh no, everything's going to go to hell. It's like, now we're starting to realize, well, that might not necessarily be true. And in fact, we all might be a lot happier of a society if we all were just following our own path. So, you know, I think it's what John's saying about, you know, children are free. It's like, yeah, children are free, and we need to remember how to be like them. We need to remember how to reconnect with who we are, were as a child, and get back there. And I definitely need to do that. Play. Huge. Play is huge. Today, I, and we'll wrap up soon because we're nearing an hour, but today I was walking through the streets and I had that urge to just play and be silly. And I just start talking to people who are like walking by me. I'm like, cool bike, like cool. Whatever. I was just like talking to them out of the blue. And my partner's like looking at me like I'm crazy. He's like, what are you talking about? But it's like, I just had this urge to just like play and just be like, hey, like that's funny or that's cool or like your shirt or whatever. And it's like, it's kind of simple, you know? Playing is simple.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, this was awesome. Can't wait for more teachings from John, conversations with John.
If you've enjoyed this podcast, we would love, love, love it if you would give us a rating and review on Apple iTunes or wherever you get your podcast. If you'd like to get in touch for a reading with Ambi, an EFT session with Alexa, or just to say what up, we would love to hear from each and every one of you. And you can email us at innerbloompodcast@gmail.com or follow us on Instagram and Facebook at innerbloompodcast. Until next time, remember, open your heart to the seeds of love and light and bloom from within.